America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first order of business today is to make an appointment for an unexpired term left unexpired by Mr. Roth. So do we have a motion to appoint a new school board member?
So moved.
Tom Baker to the position of school board maker and the board member. And we have a first by Mr. Dudley and a second by Mrs. Arquette. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.
Well.
Mr. Baker? Thank you. You want to come and join us? Mrs. Manny will swear you in.
I do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And that I will faithfully discharge
the duties of the office of
the duties of the office of
that's
school
fine.
Board member.
School board member.
According to the best of my ability.
Thank you.
At this time we're going to adjourn to executive session. We expect that perhaps it'll be 15 to 20 minutes. It shouldn't be longer than that, and then we'll come back and conclude the rest of the meeting. So do we have a motion to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of medical, financial, credit, or employment history of a particular person or corporation, or matters leading to the appointment, employment, promotion, demotion, discipline, suspension, dismissal, or removal of a particular person or corporation?
So moved.
Mr. Barber, second. Mrs. Lorne? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carry. We'll go across the street.
You want me to unwrap yours?
Yeah,
you ready?
Ooh, it is cold.
Second.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carry.
Vice President.
Number four, School Board Vice President. We have a motion to appoint a person for Vice President with the highest number of votes to the position of Board of Education Vice President. Do we have a motion on the floor?
I nominate Frank Barber.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Discussion?
Thank you.
It's like a bad thing, Frank. You can't get out of here.
I know.
I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of School Board Vice President.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of School Board Vice President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Four, and our next topic on the agenda is athletic discussion. Mr. Jeff Keller and Mr. Keith Redmond will be conducting that discussion.
Good evening, everyone. So welcome Tom McGurl, who's the superintendent of schools up in Granville. Lisa Meek, who's the junior senior high school principal in Granville, and Justin Acevera, who's the athletic director of Granville. So after last month's board meeting, where Mr. D discussed the possibility of looking into a merger with Granville for some different activities, I met with Justin and Keith to figure out some administrative parts of it. One of the things that we often overlook is it's not just the games that we play. There's a lot that goes into running sports. And so whenever you have a merger, some things you have to figure out or get a grip on. So we made a list, a shared list that we of different things we needed to discuss if the merger did go through. Keith and Justin and I met for about 4 or 5 hours a few weeks ago and discussed those. So we did prepare this presentation and met with our athletic committee here in Whitehall last week. So this is information on really how we can see the different parts of the administrative side of a possible merger between the two schools working for football, boys soccer, and cheerleading. So first couple slides here that you'll see is what our numbers were for this year going into the season and what the numbers were in Granville for the season. You see, even here in Whitehall, we did start out the year with 31 players. Our kids here have had bad luck with injuries this year, more than any other year I've been here. That has taken, I think, 7 of our starters out of the lineup, and that has hurt us a little bit. But our kids have done well, and Granville started out the season, obviously, with some pretty good numbers. But if you see next year, our numbers, we don't potentially project to be quite as high, along with Granville's numbers here. So some of these numbers, I think, is what has led to this discussion about a possible merger. One thing to note is ninth graders. So you see some ninth grade numbers on here. Our ninth graders and Granville's ninth graders, because there are active JV contests, are usually given the opportunity to continue to play modified football for a third year. And in some cases, our ninth graders do play varsity football every Saturday. So one of the things we have to talk about all the time is transportation. For us, it's always an issue. We can't usually get a bus here until a little bit after 3 o'clock sometimes. So one of the other things to consider before I talk about this transportation is here in Whitehall, we have a capital project. So this spring, our fields and track and bleachers out here are scheduled to be taken up as part of that process. And when that happens, our field, the track, and bleachers will not be playable for next season. We will not be able to host a game here on that field next year. Granville is scheduled for a similar type of project. Granville will be scheduled for the year after ours. So you see these transportation notes here. That is why one of the reasons the way they are. So the first year, we would transport students to and from practices every day to Granville. The field and track, like I said, will not be usable here in Whitehall. Tentatively, the next year in Granville, they will undergo the same process, and their field and track will not be usable. So the third year is what we really have to talk about and decide on some things. And we talked about alternating weeks for practices, and usually we host at least 4 home football games a year. So we would designate 2 of those games for each site, so that both schools can potentially host 2 games, and we would still be able to have homecoming as well as Granville. Granville has a spirit week where they have lights and host activities. Obviously, we just had homecoming here. Last thing we would want to do is interfere with anyone's traditions. So tentatively, what we would be looking at is what you see here. Every football game, if you come to Granville or you come to Whitehall at least, we have people out by the road taking money. We have chaperones and things. So we needed to talk about that. So one of the things we talked about and have a tentative agreement upon is whoever the host school would be responsible for paying chaperones, having an administrator or an athletic director on site for crowd control and to oversee the process for those games. That would be the responsibility of the school for all those years hosting those games. And that would obviously alternate back and forth the first 2 years and then 2 games here and 2 games there the third year. Moving on after that is what we would do. Those costs of those people, those games, would be the responsibility of that district. We would not share that cost or reimburse each other back and forth for those. That is something we always have to know. The other thing we had talked about here in Whitehall, our classes and stuff sometimes take turns running the concession stands and stuff. That has become a less desirable way to raise money because of the amount of home games and how much money they can make and some other things. One of the things we had hoped is that the two schools could combine a booster club for football, raise money for that potentially combined program, and help and run the concession stands at both sites for that. Every year, or every week, we do charge here. One of the things we had talked about, and I know Mr. McGurl and Granville has proposed it as well, is stopping charging to come to football games. You know, with the potential travel back and forth of the two communities, I think it would be a great gesture. We're not charging people to come to games after they do have to drive to a game. Sometimes I feel like we actually probably pay more in chaperones to take money out of the road than what we actually collect, potentially sometimes, out here anyway. Huddle, for those of you who don't know, is a video program that all the teams in Section 2 have to watch video tape of other teams and stuff as a way to scout teams. That does have a cost associated with it. That does go through BOCES. Granville uses that quite extensively compared to what we do here in Whitehall. And one of the things that would change is we both would not need subscriptions to Huddle. We would have one subscription for that team. And then we would essentially reimburse Granville because they have a bigger subscription than what we do. We would reimburse them half of what we know we currently pay for that Huddle program so we can both use it. One thing that always comes up, everyone wants to know what kind of uniform or helmet or eligibility you're going to have. Mr. Revan and I and Justin talked about some different ideas for that and have actually some mock-up designs of a logo and some different things already created that we can alter and go through in case that does happen. We would definitely come up with a new uniform for the new program. I know Granville, has expressed a desire to have the Vegas gold, and we would obviously want the maroon in ours. We do have some mock-ups of those that do look very good. One of the things that we wanted to try and do is give the team members from both schools a way to identify which school they are at. So on the helmet, we had talked about actually allowing kids from here in Whitehall to still have put a maroon face mask on the helmet that we designed. And allowing the students from Granville to either have a gold or a blue face mask, whichever they chose to do. Something so they all can still identify with their own school and have the team at the same time. That is one of the things that, while we're discussing this, we had a lot of talk about. Each school is going to, you know, we all have our own colors. We all get identified with all those things. We don't want to take away from either school. And so we would definitely come to an agreement on the final design and things like that to make sure everyone was represented. We have a very different athletic eligibility policy here in Whitehall than there is in Granville. We talked a little bit about that, and one of the things we think that would be best is if the students from both schools maintain their own eligibility policies and had to follow them from their home school that they're already in. Instead of creating a whole new one just for one sport, I don't think that would actually be a benefit to either school. So one of the things that definitely comes up, I know I've been asked about it 100 times everywhere I go, this is not a final decision, obviously, for myself and the two athletic directors to make. We talked about both schools being responsible for appointing and paying a minimum of at least three coaches. All the coaches would obviously have to have New York State certification and stuff prior to being appointed. If one of the schools, whether it be Granville or Whitehall, decided to appoint more than three coaches, that would be the sole responsibility of that district who appointed them to pay those coaches beyond three. So we don't want to pinch in a hole ourselves and say we're only going to appoint X amount of coaches from each school. But I think it is more than reasonable to agree that both of us would appoint at least three. You've got to have at least six coaches, I would imagine. And that if we agree, or that if we decide here in Whitehall, for example, to appoint five coaches, those other two would be at our cost, not Granville. So we would not charge them for that. And likewise at Granville, they would not charge us if they appointed. We currently pay five coaches, and Granville pays six, right, Justin? So So we evaluate coaches at the end of every season. Granville does as well. We both have separate forms. We talk and would get sit down and get approved by our superintendents a common coaching evaluation form. Those forms would be filled out by the athletic directors from both schools jointly at the end of every season. And then the superintendents and boards of education would be able to receive copies of those coaching evaluations after the season was over. So we still would continue that process. Remember, coaching appointments, just because Jeff Keller got appointed this year to coach whatever it may be, does not mean you have a right to that the next year. Coaching appointments are done on a yearly basis. And for us in schools, remember, coaching July 1st actually starts our school year. So we do those appointments on a yearly basis. In the event that we had multiple applicants for a position, same way Keith and I do here now, we would interview those applicants. Some administrators and the athletic directors from both schools would do that. And then if there came down to it, the superintendents would talk and decide on the final applicant of a successful candidate for one of those appointments. The cost, so the first year Granville would have the cost of hosting the games and paying for officials. Officials for a football game, for those of you who don't know, sometimes it's easy to overlook, but it's about $500 a game every time we do host a game. So Granville, for the first year, would incur those costs. Those are costs that every school gets every year, no matter what. We here at Whitehall would have the cost, obviously, every day of transporting our students to Granville. The second year, those costs would flip. We would be responsible for paying for all the games, and responsibility of those in Granville would incur those transportation costs. So eventually, they would even out. The third year of the merger is where you would really see an even split in costs for both schools in those programs. And that it would actually give us a true baseline. So, like, I've been asked some questions about what would it save and what would it cost. You aren't going to know those final real, realistic, get down to a brass tacks numbers until you got to a year where both schools would be even back and forth. The other thing we had talked about was possibly merging for cheerleading. Currently, Granville cheerleaders do not travel to away contests. Anyone who's from here in Whitehall knows we have a lot of cheerleaders. They certainly do travel to away contests. The girls from Granville would be more than welcome to cheer with our kids or travel with them. We talked about coming up with some common pom-poms or different bows and different things for the girls to wear while they're cheering for the kids on the team. The combined group could take Whitehall transportation to away games. Granville could certainly transport them here on game days where they can meet us there. Our plan for the football games, for away games, would be we would meet the Granville bus and stuff at wherever that away site might be, and that's how we would handle that. But the cheerleaders could certainly ride. We actually send a separate bus with all of our cheerleaders. There have been years that I've been here, we've had more cheerleaders than football players, so we certainly need that bus. So we do recognize that, and we would certainly welcome the girls from Granville to come and travel with us to games. We did purchase new uniforms here in Whitehall this year. The girls from Granville could certainly wear that uniform, and we could come up with different things to represent the blue and gold of Granville, or they could wear their own if they chose to, and we could come up with some ideas another way. Boys soccer, right here in Whitehall, we don't currently have boys soccer. We have had kids during my time here express interest about the idea of playing soccer. Granville does have soccer, and our kids would be welcome to play in Granville. They did just purchase new uniforms, and our kids would be welcome to wear those because we don't currently have any, obviously. Granville does have coaches, and we would use their coaches, but our kids, we would be transporting over there anyway, so our kids would be able to ride the bus over there every day for soccer practice and play. We have talked about the fields in Granville. They do have plenty of space to allow for all those possibilities. That would be a great, in my opinion, asset for our kids to be able to play another sport that we do not currently have here. It would just be a benefit to us. Again, the kids from both schools will maintain their own eligibility policy. The traditions is, I think, the last slide we have here. Like I said earlier, Granville every year has a Spirit Week, and we would certainly want to maintain that tradition for them, and our students would be allowed to go to Granville and participate in that as players on that team. We certainly just had a parade and a bonfire here, and we would certainly welcome the kids from Granville here to participate in that as well, to ride on the truck and trailer and through town and come to the bonfire. And they want to get dressed up and do the skits and stuff and the dance that our cheerleaders have them do. They're more than welcome to do that. they've ever seen that. They might be a little reluctant, but it can be entertaining to say the least. But games would be designated for both schools. We want to maintain those traditions and allow kids to have some identities. We're not looking to potentially interfere with any of that. Some things to note, and Keith and Justin can feel free to step up and speak to this if you want. So currently last year and this year, there's four teams in Class D football. Next year, there will be up to 12 teams come back down to Class D football, which is what we would be here in Whitehall if we maintain that on our own. If we do merge with Granville, Granville is currently a C. Our combined number would leave us at a C, right? So there are a lot of schools that have merged. There are some other schools out there that are looking for merger partners that are currently out there by themselves. I know Hoosier Falls is looking for a merger partner. Hoosier Valley has looked for some merger partners. Some other schools, there are a number of teams in Section 2, even much bigger schools than us that have merged for different reasons. So this is one of all those different things lead to part of this discussion. Keith?
I think the most important part is the sustainability of Whitehall football. We're currently, right now, we're not able to field a modified football team. We've gone under the number. So we are co-practicing with other teams right now because we are below the current 16 to be eligible. Our JV football program has also dropped to 10 kids. We were able to field a few games this year for JV football, but no longer are we able to do that. I believe varsity for this weekend, 20 eligible players for this weekend. That's what we're at right now. We're at 20. 21 eligible players. So to be able to sustain football, we need to look at some other things here to keep it rolling. As Mr. Keller had said, next year in the Ds, there will be many combined teams in the Ds. And I'm personally worried about us being able to compete. I know those coaches as well that are here in this room know that that level of football is really about winning. All those coaches desire to win. And the fear is that if we go up against all these merged teams in the Ds, we may not be able to do that with the number that we have. Therefore, if we're not able to compete, what happens in the following years when kids say, well, Whitehall football is getting destroyed, maybe they're not going to come out for football anymore. Maybe we won't see those numbers, and those numbers will continue to drop where we may lose football overall. We may not have enough kids to sustain a football program. So that's one of my concerns. That's the biggest concern that I have about football right now, being able to maintain that team for years to come.
The other, I'm going to tell you, thing that I would like for people to just keep an open mind about, one of my previous lives before coming here to Whitehall, I had some experience being an athletic director. We're talking about varsity football here, and we're not talking enough about soccer and cheerleading. But the opportunity for our kids who are ninth graders and 10th graders who maybe don't feel comfortable playing in a varsity sport or don't feel comfortable being out there on that field on Saturday, to allow kids that age or that developmental level to have a full JV squad for both schools, practice against other kids who are going to be playing in a JV game, and to develop and not get have to go and play varsity at that age is a big deal. To be able to develop kids and put them on the field and say, okay, I've got a freshman who's maybe not physically ready to play varsity, but we don't have enough to play JV, and is playing modified really the right answer for them for a third year in a row against 7th and 8th graders? I think that opportunity for kids from both schools and both communities, 9th and 10th graders, to actually be able to play and get some practice reps against kids their own sizes and own ages is a big deal. And that's something we don't have, and I know Granville doesn't have it either. And we overlook that all the time, but it is a real possibility. And I think that one of the things that causes kids who play when they're younger to stop playing when they start getting older is they start worrying, okay, I'll play modified maybe this year, but I'm not sure I really want to play against kids that much bigger than me. That is something that I wish more people would consider. So like I said, these are just administrative ideas and thoughts that we talked to. I know I shared this with Mr. McGrill and with Justin, Pat, and Keith. We talked about this at the athletic committee meeting last week. This is just an idea of administratively. All these things do go into a football program. It's not just about playing on Saturday or Friday night. And how, if this does happen, we would propose that they report.
I think lastly, I think one of the biggest concerns from the communities, both communities, and these would be the old timers, was that the rivalry between the two schools. Well, that rivalry left a long time ago. In the last 12 years, we've played twice. And that's it. That matchup is no longer in existence anymore between Whitehall and Granville. So, and the other thing we talked about as a group as well, our kids, right, it's the adults that we have to sell it to, because our kids right now they do things with Granville kids right now. They play summer baseball together. They play basketball together. We had kids from our Whitehall football program attend the homecoming dance in Granville this weekend, or last weekend as well. So it's not like the kids won't accept one another. I don't think that's the biggest issue. I believe one of the biggest issues might be the fear of how it's going to work. I think that's the fear of everybody. That's the fear of our coaches. How is this going to work with the Granville coaches? How can all these be set up? And it's like all other mergers. We figure it out, we make it work, and we move on, and we have a successful program. I believe that if we were able to do this, they could be one of the powerhouses in the seas. If we don't do it, I think we're going to struggle. I really do.
Well, we're through an awful lot of information at the board. This is not something you need to make a decision on this evening. This is informational. We wanted to make sure that you heard this information and saw this information and had this information kind of rattling around in your brain for the next month. We are going to need to make a decision probably in November if we choose to merge with Granville for the 2021 school year. We do need to get that information into the section if we elect to go in that direction for the December meeting. So, again, this is informational at this point. We're confident that there's going to be more questions. We can certainly host additional meetings and talk about this further. But it's a great deal of information. It's important information because it's going to impact the district now and into the future. So, again, you know, we encourage questions from the board if you have them. And certainly, we want to be as open and candid as possible moving forward regarding this potential merger.
So there's a deadline in January to send a proposal. Mergers do have to be approved by your home leagues. For us, within the Adirondack League, before those proposals will move forward to the Athletic Council in Section 2, where the sitting members of the Athletic Council tables would actually vote on that merger. Mergers are approved every year by the Section 2, the New York State Athletic Committee.
Mr. Keller, if we were to merge these programs, would we still need an athletic director from each school?
Well, remember, the athletic directors still have everything else. So, you know, we don't just have football. So we still have soccer, still have cross country, still have
baseball, basketball.
So maybe 60% of the time that they were athletic director before or something like that. I mean, I'm just looking for any kind of cost savings.
I don't. Like I said, I really believe, Mr. Dudley, you won't be able to see the cost savings until the third year. Once those things are really split up, then you would get to the number, because even for the first 2 years, you're going to have some unrealistic transportation costs that you wouldn't have in other years. And to offset that, the home school who would host those games, like we said, would pay for the chaperones and the site supervisors and those things. So really, honestly, I couldn't give you that answer until the third year.
But that hasn't been looked at as a cost-saving measure.
No, in reality, we really haven't been looking at any of this merger discussion from a cost-saving standpoint. Mm-hmm. The conversation that we've been having kind of administratively has been directly related to opportunity for students. Where we haven't had discussions about, you know, this being a cost savings measure. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, year three, I would anticipate both districts saving money just in the football program itself. But for the first two, I think it's going to cost us at least what it's costing both of us now.
Okay.
So I have a merger paperwork. I sent that to students in February 1st.
Right. Football has now, they create the schedule now in February. Right. So Section 2 voted, and it was through their committees as well, that all football merger information had to be turned in by January 2nd.
Okay.
To make it. Right. That's the old one.
Okay.
Yeah, just hold on. Yep.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
Yes.
Can I see the numbers again? Not that just someone have
the head count.
The head count numbers. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was going to ask the same thing. And are they the same numbers you're projecting as coaches? The same numbers you saw up there?
That would be who we got the numbers from.
Yeah, they're off their rosters.
Okay,
their rosters.
Just
yep.
This one I'm clear. The next one. Thank you.
So all else being equal, we're going to drop seven
seniors and had five ninth graders, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you have to go to the previous slide.
Well, yeah, so this year we started off with 31. Okay. Next year you'd be looking at 26, so you'd be down five from the beginning of the year.
Where are we with regards to the wrestling merger with Fort Ann?
At this point, we are still merged with Fort Ann this year. Realistically, I do believe that Fort Ann's intent is to look elsewhere for the following year.
They have told us that.
Yeah, they,
for
they,
me, it just makes absolutely no sense that we're merged with multiple districts.
Yeah, there's
for athletics.
Well, they, I think Fort Ann has made it very clear to us, Mr. Barber, that they intend to.
Yeah, so we don't anticipate continuing that merger with Fort Ann, and we already merge with Grantville now for cross country, and it's been working exceptionally well.
So this would move us as a combined team into the Class C.
Grantville's already a C, and we would remain a C.
Do you know what classification we would be if we merged with Fort Ann?
We would probably stay in the D's.
So remember, with
Fort Ann
for wrestling, they all of a sudden it's like three kids.
So they have no football program, we have no soccer program.
Correct.
And I know this was years ago, we did approach about football and they denied us soccer.
Mm-hmm.
They went to their committee and said absolutely not, they weren't willing to go to a Class C school for soccer.
The other thing that has been a challenge with Fort Ann, we all know, is them not wanting to pay that bill. That's point blank.
Football's pricey.
They have not wanted to pay half the bill for wrestling. They didn't want to pay that bill. Wait till they see the bill for football.
But
so
you're charging them half for wrestling, correct?
Yes.
Half the bill.
Half
I mean,
right.
If they're only sending five kids, they would still pay half.
They still
the
pay half. They still
that's
pay
that. Because that's what we do. That's not what they have to do.
We would still charge them the same thing. Because they don't
well,
have any equipment.
We don't have to charge them half of our entire bill if they came here.
So if they got in here.
That's out of doing. That's
what
we
right,
that
was the decision made by the
board.
Right.
So because in my opinion, we should be subsidizing another district's athletics. Our taxpayers should not be paying for that.
Yeah, we would want them to spend that.
So if we don't merge, if we don't make a decision by February 1 in this role.
By January.
Rolls for a year.
It would potentially no field to practice on.
We will not.
We will
not
have a field because of the capital project.
Right. There'll be no field. Well, we'll have to, you know, work with the surrounding areas to. Mm-hmm. You know, find access to a field, which we'd be able to find access to.
Mm-hmm.
So have we discussed who would be responsible for the program? Like which district? Because on the merger paperwork, I also talks about which district is responsible to administer the program and which athletic director is responsible.
Yeah, we're not at that point.
Not
we've
that
got
point
a lot
yet.
Of additional discussions to still have.
So I think to further answer your question, James, once we voted or Granville voted, if they both districts voted for the merger, before January, like Mr. D said earlier, we'd have to maybe vote on that in November, then December, finalize those answers.
Well, shouldn't that be part of the decision?
Before voting,
you'd want to know before you made a decision.
Yes.
That's a novel idea.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
You know, and what about?
We can figure that out in the next month. Be nice.
As far as like the coaches go, do coaches from both districts have to be approved by both? Boards or only by the board that's paying?
That's a good question.
Mr. D?
I'm sorry?
Does the coaches have to be approved by both districts or only the district that's paying for that?
By section rules, I do not believe that there's a requirement for both districts to approve. I think the entity that will approve all the coaches would be the district that is considered the responsible district. However, we have already had the discussion that we would share responsibility in selecting those coaches.
Right.
And make sure we have representation from, you know, obviously from both schools.
Right.
And if I may, as I told my coaching staff as well, the football guys, the one thing that fear that I have is that we've had five guys that have been loyal to our school for quite some time now. We've had Coach Gould, I think head coach for almost 10 years, all those guys, Mr. Dykel, 40 plus years. That would be very difficult for me to tell one of those guys that they couldn't coach football next year. So I would hope that we would still continue to look at hire all of our coaches. I don't think that would be fair for our coaches to say you can't coach and we're only going to hire three.
Well,
know, and again, what our intent this evening is not to put the board on the spot to make a decision. We're just trying to check the temperature of the board to see if it's even worthwhile for us to continue to move forward with all of these unanswered questions, because there's a significant amount of legwork that needs to be done to be able to prepare and get all this information ready for both communities between now and November, December. So, you know, our intent this evening was just to share, you know, the limited amount of information we've been able to pull together in the short amount of time to make a determination as to whether or not this is something that, you know, you as elected members of the community believe the community would support.
And what and how do we get more information?
We pull it together. The athletic directors, and superintendents, principals from both school districts start pulling the information together. And obviously we need to start opening the dialogue significantly more substantially with our coaching staffs.
Yeah, I would I mean, I think it's a worthwhile conversation, but I think you definitely need a lot more information. A lot of stuff needs to be fleshed out. I'd also recommend, if you're open to it, that I mean, you've got three board members on the sports committee, you can have them be able to take part or give an opportunity to take part in some of these meetings that have happened and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Can we get confirmation as to what happens to the 4-day in classification with soccer, if that was the merger?
Absolutely.
Because I believe those calculations have changed or are changing.
They are. They are.
I'd be curious to know where that ended up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's like we've got more.
Yeah.
More information
more questions.
To gather. More information and more questions. thank you, Mr. Keller and Mr. Redman, and also the board members that, you know, have discussed this on committee meetings. Board comments, board president comments. I was lucky enough, along with Mr. Dudley, and forgive me if I didn't see anyone else, but we judged the homecoming floats over the weekend. Were you there as well?
No.
Oh. They were great.
I was there.
You were. I saw you. Yes.
You were a judge.
We were there too.
So you were both judges.
Yeah,
the,
we were.
Yeah, the classes did a great job. There was a lot of enthusiasm. I think they took the theme to heart and really, really put their heart and soul into it, and that was good to see.
Tied between the freshmen and the seniors.
I saw that. Yes.
It's really good to see the staff that was there on a Friday night.
Yeah.
40-50 miles from home.
Yeah.
Investing that kind of time into the community and into the kids. So kudos to you guys that were there.
Thanks to all those people that helped get that stuff together. Superintendent comments?
All right. First off, a big thank you goes out to the Board of Education. You guys are sitting here with your piles of goods already this evening. For appreciation month. You also have, please don't forget, pies over here for each of you that Deb was able to pull together. I'm not exactly sure what they are. Are they mincemeat this year?
All apple.
All apple. Okay, so that's good. so again, thank you for doing what you do. Next year, we have already decided we're going to double your salaries. So we hope you enjoy that. I need to take just a moment to thank Sally Stevens publicly. Sally has filled in the guidance office for us from almost the beginning of the school year and has done an excellent job. Today is her last day, so a big thank you goes out to Sally for working in the guidance office and regularly making us baked goods, which was pretty awesome as well.
If you've never had one of her scones, they're worth fighting
She's
for.
She's really good at
baking. They're pretty good, yeah. I received a few thank yous this month. I just want to share some information, which is pretty cool. Judy received a thank you note from the Skeensboro Harbor thanking Laura Hart for providing fresh vegetables again this year out of the elementary school garden. So it was nice to be recognized for that. We also received a certificate of appreciation for our partnership with the National Food Bank of Northeastern New York. The district distributed 1,051 lunches to children throughout the summer program. So. Good job. A lot of lunches went out to kids over the summer. And then lastly, Kim Barber, who's in charge of our backpack program, we received a letter this summer with some really interesting statistics. Whitehall distributed 1,395 backpacks throughout the course of the year, filled with 8,370 meals, 23,033 pounds of food, 22,840 pounds of non-perishables, 193 pounds of fresh produce, and the average weight of each bag that was distributed and carried home by our students was 17 pounds. So, from our community and the folks here in the school to continue to do that great work for our students. I'm going to take just 1 second to recognize somebody that's sitting out there in the audience, I think. Matt Redmond, this year, golfed in the state qualifying match, which was very, very impressive to make the state qualifiers. Second time now you made the state qualifiers. And this year, actually, in today's paper, correct?
Yes.
He was named the Adirondack League Golfer of the Year.
First by Mrs. Norton, second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I had just one question on the budget status report.
Mm-hmm.
Is July the only one that's included in here?
Right now, yes.
Okay, will we get the others at some point?
Yes.
So
next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Thank you. Items requiring board action. Looking for a motion to approve the board minutes from September 16th and October 8th as presented. So moved by Mr. Brooks, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Barber. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Looking for a motion to approve CSEE minutes from August 20th, September 10th, September 16th, and September 17th. Is there a motion?
No more.
Mr. Brooks?
Second.
Second. Mrs. Norton? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We need a motion to approve audit and finance minutes from September 16th, as presented. Whoever first. Motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Mr. Barber, second. Mrs. Arquette, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Resignation. We have four resignations. Does anyone have a problem with me reading those together?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Motion to approve the resignation of Ms. Carrie Traver from the position of sixth grade special education teacher effective at the close of business on October 18th. Motion to approve the resignation of Ms. Stephanie DeGroff from position of teacher aide, effective September 7th. Motion to approve the resignation of Ms. Kelly Hall from the position of substitute teacher bus aide, effective September 30th. And a motion to approve the resignation of Ms. Evelyn St. Clair from the position of varsity indoor track coach.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barber.
Second.
The second. Mr. Brooks, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We have motion to approve appointments, and there's quite a few here. Does anyone have a problem with me reading them all together?
I do not.
Anyone else?
Mr. D, you might want to walk me through those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are you supposed to be?
Usually, but
Perfect. Okay, I'm happy sitting here quiet. I would like to recommend the board take action to approve Ms. Bonnie Zanker, the position of sixth grade special education teacher. I'd also, that would be a 3-year tenure track position in lieu of a 4-year. She has already previously been tenured in another school district. After completing her 26-week probationary period, I would like to recommend permanent appointment of Missy Baresta as a food service helper. Again, permanent position, Charity Davis as a food service helper. Sue Frazier as a substitute teacher aide, bus aide. I'd like to recommend a 26-week probationary appointment of Mr. Tim Ward to the position of cleaner. I'd like to recommend permanent appointment of Angie Greeno to the position of account clerk typist. Heather Morcombe to the position of account clerk typist, permanent as well. Permanent appointment of Mr. Lenny Rathbun to maintenance mechanic. I'd also like to recommend a 26-week probationary appointment of Erica
Obremski.
Well, that's an interesting one. To the position of clerk. I'd also like to recommend Holly Pelkey to the position of PBIS coordinator at the elementary school. We missed that one on last year's appointments. I'd also like to recommend Ms. Alexandria Parker to a position of long-term substitute. She had previously been appointed for a several-month position, but we now need to keep her full-time for the remainder of the year. I'd like to recommend Mrs. Deneen McLeod to the position of temporary inventory clerk. We shared this previously, but just want to remind the board that this position is being covered in its totality by a grant that Mrs. Manny wrote. We received a grant of $34,063 to get our records in order in the school district. So that gives us the opportunity to hire a staff member, to help with our records as well as get different supplies and materials. I'd like to appoint Mrs. Sonia Ingalls to the position of ski club advisor, and a series of coaches, Neil Molinaro to boys JV basketball, Paul Gould, modified boys basketball, Darren Eggleston, girls JV basketball, Jerry Arquette, girls modified basketball, Grant Gibo, assistant varsity wrestling, Kevin Gibo, modified wrestling, Brandon Sagana to intramural boys 5-6 basketball, Jared Eggleston, intramural girls 5-6 basketball, Matt Waters, intramural girls 3-4 basketball, and John Hollister, unpaid volunteer wrestling. Wow. Yeah.
That's a breath.
Yeah. That's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of people. Do we have a motion? So moved to approve. Mrs. Norton? Second.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. Any discussion?
I had two questions.
So
I understand the one inventory clerk position. What was the other clerk position that was presented? Is that a replacement of a resignation?
Yeah, the other clerk position is to replace our guidance secretary. We've been filling the substitute.
Frank, just so you know, so Angie Greeno has asked, since she will be moving back to be the guidance secretary, Erica will be the main high school office secretary.
So does she have the prerequisites for?
Yes.
She does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, she passed the test already,
okay.
So we're good to go.
Okay.
She actually scored number 2 on that test.
Any other discussion?
I just had just curious, but what is the rationale for the variance in the there's 2 account clerk typist positions, and there's a variance of about 10% in the salary. Is that seniority based? Or?
So it's Angie has been here for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other's been here just 1 week.
Thanks.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried.
And I'm abstaining.
I'm abstaining as well. Okay. Leave of absence. We have a motion to approve the unpaid leave of absence of Ms. Kay Robelli beginning October 21 through January 6, 2020. Have a motion? Mr. Brooks?
Second.
Mr. Barber? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We also have a motion to approve a Washington, D.C. trip April 2nd through the 4th of 2020. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Oh, I think Mr. Dudley. Mr. Dudley was our first, and our second was Mr. Brooks. Any discussion?
Is there the chaperone structure going to be similar as what it's been in past years?
Yeah.
And what class is this that's going?
It's the 10th graders every year.
Every year. Thank you.
Right.
Good.
We also include, like, if there was a older kid who, for some reason, did not get to go the previous year, we do allow them to go, too.
Good. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Motion to approve disposals. Motion to approve the following disposals. One oven from the elementary school, a floor squeegee which no longer works, thrown away. 14 file cabinets, 12 four-drawer cabinets, 2 five-drawer cabinets, non-locking and many damaged. IT items as listed, and library books as listed. Have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, second?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Building use request. We have a request from Ms. Pam Holdus to use the junior senior high school auditorium, music room, classrooms, and lobby on May 21, 22, and 23. Thank you. Okay. To look at that twice. Thank you, Mr. Brooks, for dance recital and rehearsal. This is Mary Hollister for requesting the use of the elementary school auditorium, gym, and parking lot, and near the athletic fields for the elementary school for a Girl Scout activity. Ms. Annette Parra is requesting to use the elementary school parking lot on November 23 from 6 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. for theater goers. And Ms. Valerie Wager is requesting to use the junior senior pool and locker rooms Monday and Thursdays from November 5 to March 26, 2020, from 6 to 8 for adult swim. Do I have a motion to approve those building use?
So moved.
Mr. Barber? Second, Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Any opposed? Carried. Thank you. Items of information. I was sworn in as the school board president by District Clerk Kim Manny on September 17th of this past year. And I guess now we will open, correct, to public comments. Any public comments? Yes, Mrs. Hollister.
Since I wasn't first with a guest, I'll go
first.
On behalf of the Whitehall PTA, we'd like to honor you with your gifts, your warm blankets, which I see Roxanne is using already, and your seats. We do thank you for all your support and anything we come to you and ask for building use and your support. You're right there with us. And next month, we'll be handing out the membership form, so enjoy the membership. We'll get your membership. The gift certificates, for the first time ever, as far back as I can find in our records, CSEA is honoring you with a gift certificate from the school grounds. I know Mr. D, it doesn't happen with any negotiations coming up. We too would also like to.
You shouldn't have given me one if that's the case.
Sure, it's coming. We have our own special day.
Too many zeros on that.
So we just like to thank you. I know we had a lot of fun, but we also like to thank you for the seriousness you take and how important we are to you and you are to us. So on behalf of the entire PTA and CSEA, we'd like to thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm going to talk that long. But we also would like to, the Whitehall Teachers Association would like to thank you for your committed support and all that you do for us here in the community. And so we provide you with a card and a $25 gas card.
Thank you.
So we
thank
do appreciate you.
You
and all that you do for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Okay, it's 7:25. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So
second by Ms. Brooks. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank
you. That's like 6 months worth of ideas.